We've been blessed this morning to have Dr. Scott Shepherd leading us in our time of worship in Joe's absence, as Joe leads our mission and choir tour. So I know you appreciate the ministry of Dr. Shepherd and even the bonus today of having Iris with us to play that beautiful violin. So church family, let's say our appreciation one more time. Thank you. Galatians is one of those great New Testament epistles that Paul writes to a church that was experiencing some tension. We talked about that the very first Sunday of this series of one anothering. We are learning to support one another, to encourage one another, and today to care for one another or to bear one another's burdens. And so as we look at the sixth chapter of Galatians and the very second verse, that is our key focus verse for today. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I oftentimes love to see the paraphrase version of this that Eugene Peterson writes in The Message, and I think this one today is most illustrative. He says, "Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed." Do you know anyone who has experienced a sense of oppression lately? And here, the intent of this text, I think, is captured in that paraphrase, to stoop down, to find a way to minister, to care for, to support, to come alongside, share their burdens. And if you do this, you will complete the law of Christ, he says. Well, I want to jump to the benefits of what it means to bear one another's burdens. Some of you came in this morning and you received the listening guide. I hope you're finding that to be helpful. Many have commented to me over the period of COVID-19 that being able to follow along on those sermon listening sheets has been a benefit to you. And whether you look back over these notes months or weeks or years from now, or whether you pass these on to someone else to encourage them, I hope that you will take advantage and that you'll find this to be a part of your worship experience and your growth experience with us. So just walking down through those benefits this morning. The first benefit is that practicing this art of bearing one another's burdens allows us to cultivate Christ-likeness. It cultivates that sense of the image of Christ being seen more readily in and through our hearts and lives. When we bear one another's burdens, then this is a way to practice imitating Christ. If you want to be like Christ, you're going to do those things that Christ did. Obviously, you and I cannot perform the level of miracles that Jesus did. But we can bear with those who are hurting. We can shoulder the weight with those who are needing some encouragement. I'm so thankful for the way the majority of this congregation has determined that you're going to bear one another's burdens. And you've done that historically, but you've done that in an incredible way this year as you've continued to give to the mission and the ministry of this congregation. You pray for one another. You have reached out to one another in phone calls and in Zoom meetings. And in so many ways, you have been imitating Christ toward one another, and that's what it means to bear one another's burdens. I'm reminded of that hymn that we oftentimes sing. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered, and he died alone. So when we think about bearing one another's burdens, it is a good reminder to us that as we love and shoulder and come along beside one another in the imitation of Christ, we're doing something that that demonstrates how Christ loved us, because we remember that what Christ did on our behalf was quite remarkable. He took our sins. He bore our sins on his own shoulders on the cross of Calvary, a place that you and I deserved. And there the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, died for our sin. He died for those things that separates us from a holy God. And as we practice loving one another, we're demonstrating that same sense of love towards those in the body of Christ. To bear one another's burdens becomes the supreme act of imitating Jesus Christ. The second thing is that it develops an obedient heart. You and I need to develop a heart that is so sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God that when we sense the prompting or the moving or the nudging of God to respond in ministry or to volunteer or to say a word or to write a card or to make a phone call or to pause and to entertain a stranger, and by doing so we entertain angels unaware, Scripture says, we need a heart that is so obedient to that. And bearing one another's burdens is a way to practice obeying that law of Christ that he has given to each one of us, to love our neighbor as ourself. This is Jesus' new commandment. He gave that commandment to his disciples before he endured the shame and the horrendous experience of the cross. Gathered in that upper room, as he broke the bread and passed the cup, he said to them, "This is my commandment to you, that you love one another." Well, loving one another is a way of developing that obedient heart. Third, it nurtures spiritual depth in our lives. If you feel like you haven't grown very much spiritually, then I encourage you to think about what it means to minister and to bear one another's burdens, because in doing so, we nurture spiritual depth. By bearing one another's burdens, we develop a spiritual sensitivity in the life of every Christ follower. So as you practice these things yourself, you begin to grow more and more like Christ. Your heart becomes more obedient to the things of God, and your spiritual roots go deeper, and you become more sensitive to the needs that might be around you as you are practicing Christ-likeness. A characteristic of a truly spiritual person is the one anotherness that we find in Scripture, as opposed to the selfishness that is so often a characteristic of our day and time. The person whose life is controlled by the Holy Spirit comes alongside others. They carry the physical, emotional, and the spiritual load that threatens to absolutely crush a fellow believer. And we've all been there. We've all had experiences. We've all had times in our life where it feels like the weight is so great that we'll never be able to get out from under it. And so as practicing this particular sense of bearing one another's burdens, we are putting ourselves in a situation where we grow deeper, but we also have the opportunity of lifting someone else beside us. And then the final benefit that I'm listing in the notes this week is that it provides spiritual support. Bearing one another's burdens may help a brother or a sister find a way of escape when temptation comes their way. This is somewhat of a lost art in our day and time. The primary reference to burdens in this passage is not just the difficulties that we go through, but the primary focus of this would be sins, the temptations that just overwhelm, that seem to pull us apart. And sometimes, as a Christ follower, you and I are going to have the opportunity to come alongside someone who finds themselves experiencing that kind of struggle. I remember years ago, I think I was still in high school, And I was in one of those English classes where you were supposed to write something about your future. And in this particular class, I remember our teacher telling us, I want you to write the news story for what's going to take place at your death. Now, kind of a strange activity, perhaps, but, you know, as a high school senior, man, I was all about that. I knew that God had called me into the ministry, and I knew that I was going to be a preacher. And so I just went to town on that little article, that little exercise, and I remember writing something like this. Pastor Frank was attacked after going to a bar where he was seeking to minister to a member of the church. Their husband had gone there to get drunk again, and Pastor Frank went to bring him out and to try to straighten him out. Well, you know, that was pretty idealistic, wasn't it? How did we get from that kind of attitude to giving a thumbs up and liking everything under the sun that we see on social media? I mean, there are things right now that sometimes, without any blushing or any shame whatsoever, a member of the body of Christ will put something out there for the whole world to see. And the only thing we can do is to give it a thumbs up. When years ago, maybe we would have gone to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying. Maybe we would have gone and done everything we could possibly do to get our hands on them and to pull them out of sin's way and to say there's something better out here. Well, when I think about offering or providing the kind of spiritual support in that illustration, I really believe I'm getting to exactly what Paul means in this text. The burdens are the things that are going to wreck and wreak havoc in somebody's life if all we do is say, oh man, that's great. But if we really care, as Christ cares, we're going to find some way to intervene. And we're going to go as ambassadors for Christ, bearing one another's burdens and coming along beside them, not to give guilt or to heap shame or anything like that on their lives. I don't mean that. I certainly am not encouraging you to respond to everything on social media. That would be embarrassing for the person and not the best way to try to win them back. But oh, to be mindful and to be careful that another Christian's ensnarement in sin is not a private problem. It affects every one of us. And as brothers and sisters in the family of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, we care for one another so much that when a brother or a sister is under that kind of weight, then we come along beside them because we love them and we care for them, and we know how this is going to end otherwise. We sing the first stanza of this hymn almost by memory. Sometimes we used to do this after Lord's Supper, and sometimes we do this at the close of a service. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. But it's that third stanza that really speaks to this text. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Oh, we're weeping when we see someone struggle. We're weeping when we see somebody hurting. We're weeping with a broken heart because of what sin is doing in their life. Well, to move to an application in this passage today, it's a reminder to me that the Christian walk is a shared journey. We sang that in one of our hymns today, and it's absolutely true. The Christian walk is a shared journey. We do this together as the body in Christ. The Greek word that is used most often in the New Testament to describe this kind of shared journey is the word koinonia. We've talked about this word before. You've heard about it in Sunday school classes and Bible study classes of your own. And this word koinonia was probably one of the casualties during COVID-19, because COVID-19 exposed the weakness or the fragility of koinonia in so many cases, including that in our own church. Koinonia means sharing. It means to share in friendship. It means to share as partners in the gospel. It means to share our material possessions. It means to have fellowship in Christ, and because of that fellowship in Christ, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, it was hard not being together. On so many Sundays when I would stand in this place and we could only have 10 people in the building, and 3 of those were sound techs to make it possible for us to live stream our services, and a very limited number here on the platform to sing and to preach to an empty sanctuary, but to know that you were there. You know, you bore and you supported and you cared for and you came alongside and you lifted in so many amazing ways. And church, I want you to know how thankful I am for that. But what we missed during that time was the ability to encourage one another in the hallways, or to be in a Sunday school class and to be able to talk about some of the things that might be troubling in our culture or in our society at large, and then to be able to find some common ground as the body of Christ. And if there were some things taking place internally in the church, and there always are, we miss the opportunity to come along beside each other and reason and talk and pray and laugh and even have lunch together. It was a horrific experience that none of us saw coming. And the foundation of our faith is probably what allowed us to navigate it as well as we did. And your faithfulness and your continuing to invest in one another, to make phone calls, to encourage one another, you lived out so much of this passage and so much of what I think Paul is saying, not only in Galatians, but in other places where we care for one another, where we bear one another's burdens. The koinonia that binds us together is a koinonia that, when someone staggers, we steady the load. Or when the load is heavy, we come along and we lift to lighten the load. Or when they stumble and they fell or fail, then we help them stand. And that kind of koinonia, when they're staggering, we steady. When the load is heavy, we lift to lighten. When they stumble or fall, we help them stand. That's what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're reminded that Christ is the ultimate burden bearer. He bore our sins on the cross to Calvary. And he encourages us to come along beside each other and to keep him in sight and to bear with one another. The way it's written in the New Testament language, it is a keep on kind of action. Keep on bearing one another's burdens. And the word burden there, as we've described it, demonstrates the idea of the struggles and the sins and the temptations and the hard times that we go through that are so much a part of spiritual battles and spiritual warfares. And Jesus took all of that to the cross with him. As active Christians, and as we practice this one anotherness with each other, bearing one another's burdens, we find that as Paul writes Galatians, he writes it to a family. I've already mentioned in the reading this morning that brothers and sisters can really be understood in this text. In Galatians chapter 1, as Paul gives his opening words, he talks with that same kind of brother and sisterly connection. And he ends the book of Galatians with that same little phrase at the very end. The last word in Galatians is amen, but the next to the last word is brothers. So as he thinks in terms of how the church family, knit together, bound together in a familial relationship, and how you come along beside each other, bearing one another's burdens, we don't have to look any further than perhaps an Old Testament illustration for this. In Genesis chapter 4, that story where Cain and Abel take their gifts to worship, and God confronts Cain after the murder of his brother Abel, and Cain says, God says, "Where is Abel your brother?" And Cain says, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, truly, spiritual life is intensely practical. And we have to recognize that giving a listening ear or a strong shoulder or a helping hand are the things that we do as brothers and sisters in Christ to bear the burden and lift the load with one another. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, writing in his prison letters, said, "God has willed that we should seek and find his living word and the witness of a brother or a sister. Therefore, the Christian needs other Christians who will speak God's word to them. And when we become uncertain and discouraged, we need our brother and sister as a bearer and proclaimer of the divine word of salvation, because we cannot do this alone." Oh, brothers and sisters, we have the privilege and the high calling that God has given to us to be a family, and to be a family that cares, and a family that nurtures, and a family that lifts the burdens with one another, and the kind of family that cares so much for each other that we're not going to let our brother or a sister destroy themselves with sin. We have this high calling in Christ. I want to invite you to bow your head with me, and as I pray for us today and ask God to apply this word to our hearts and our lives, I hope these words will resonate in your prayer as well. Thank you, Lord God, for the calling that you've given to us to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of your family. And two of our responsibilities as family are to restore with humility those who've been caught in sin's web and to help carry one another's burdens. May we be faithful vessels of the love your Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts. Empower us to work harder, to serve more faithfully, to labor more diligently, and to seek to press on. Energize us by your Spirit and keep us faithful to our calling. You permit burdens and heartaches and disappointments, and you transform them into the stories of grace and courage. God, we've seen it time and time again. We pray that through the trials you send our way, you'll keep our hearts filled with the peace that passes all understanding and that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, that whether we falter or whether we fail, you are always willing to restore us. You give us grace upon grace without measure. You abundantly supply every need we have according to your riches in Christ Jesus. We bow our hearts to worship you in your Son's blessed name. Amen and amen. Just a moment, Scott's going to come and lead us in an invitation hymn. And I'm going to be standing here at the altar. And if there's a commitment that the Lord has laid on your heart, if there's a need for prayer, if there's a need to come and share something or to lay a burden down here at this altar, would you do it? There are other deacons who are here in this place who will come and stand with me and pray with you if there's a need. But today, if you're here and there's a commitment like that that you're ready to share, would you do it? And if you're one of our boys and girls that gave his or her heart to Christ this week, would you come and share that right now with your church family? Let's stand and let's sing, and you come.